Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the house of insanity in Jesus' name. Glad you're here. Mike is gone. We are privileged to be able to read God's word without Micah, though. Thank goodness. If you're waiting for your meal once a week, you're going to be anemic spiritually anyway. Get into the word of God. Broken record. I think I said that the last 50 times I spoke here. I've been noticing something around town this week, actually over even in East Egypt. And I don't know if you've noticed it too, but the price of gas is slowly going back up. And I don't know if they think we're stupid. They won't notice if we raise it 2 cents or whatever. But it's getting back up there again. And you know why. Right? Because it's going to be vacation time. Right? And they know that we're going to load the cars. And we got some of us that own cars. Or, not everybody, right? But this is where they make their bling. Right? And vacation is coming, and they raise the prices back up because they know we'll pay it. And it's craziness to me. I was reading a story about a couple that went on vacation. I actually told this to my real estate agent yesterday, I guess. I was looking for something to laugh about. So I was reading this couple about going on vacation, and they're at the airport, and the husband looks over at his wife, and he says, "Oh, man, I wish I had brought the piano." And she gave him one of those looks that only a wife, if you're married, you know that look that your wife gives you? Okay, she gave him one of those, and she said, "We've got 16 bags. Why in the good Lord's name would you want the piano?" And he said, "Because I left the tickets on the piano." And I told that to Steve, and we laughed, because we're filling all these... It's hard to sell a house, man. It's easy to buy a house. It's hard to sell a house, okay? New chapter, right? And so he told me a story that he'd heard about this guy that was on vacation. Interesting story. And he was visiting a farm, and he was out walking around with the farmer, and the farmer whistled, and there was a female sheepdog that came and rounded all the sheep up. And herded them into the corral and then got up on her hind legs and shut the gate. I said, "Yeah, right." And he said, "Well, yeah, the guy was really impressed with it." And so he asked the farmer, he said, "What is the dog's name? That's an incredible dog. What'd you name her?" So the farmer stopped and he thought, what's that red flower that we give out sometimes that's got thorns on it? Rose, yeah, that's it." He said, he turned to his wife and said, "Hey, Rose, what do we name the dog?" "Oh, it's bad, I know. And thank you." First service did better, all right, but we're young in this, so we'll get there. I got to thinking about this whole thing of memory loss, and it's a terrible thing. There's a lot of people that out here in our society and in our homes they've lost their ability to remember things. All of us suffer some sorts of memory loss. We just do. It's easy to do stuff like, have you ever stopped in the doorway to your kitchen or some other room and wondered whether you were coming in or going out? Now, come on, it's not just me, is it? Have you ever found yourself standing in the closet wondering what you were there for? Unless your name's Nikki Six, and then you know what you were in there for. That was bad. Two people got it. That's good. Have you ever met somebody and you couldn't remember her name? It's right on the tip of your tongue. Oh, I hate that. It's embarrassing. I've taken to put your names in my phone with pictures so that I can all... Yeah, okay. Yeah, hey, what's up, Paul? Just kidding. What about this? When you go to the grocery store, being a bachelor is different. I've been married since I was a teenager. I've had my wife telling me what I was going to get at the grocery store for 27 years. Now all of a sudden I'm shopping for myself. It's not all that is cracked up to be. Okay? So I go to the store and I'm wandering around like this. Well, Avalon wants nuggets and those fries. All right, the fries are healthy, aren't they, Brandy? And so I got some fries and apples. Because apples are fruit. They qualify as fruit. Technically, I could say I'm eating fruit because I'm having apples. And I get home, and I thought I did pretty good. You know, I kept the cost down there, and I forgot coffee. You know, the one thing that I had on my list to get at the store was coffee, and I forgot the one thing. Riding down the road. You ever done this? You're riding down the road, and all of a sudden you realize you're someplace you don't know how you got there. That road days when you're listening to Supertramp or whatever it is that you've got cruising. And all of a sudden you realize I'm halfway to Kankakee. Aren't you glad that God has protective angels in your life? How many stop signs did I blow? How fast was I going through Crescent City? I don't even remember stopping, Tracy. And those are the kinds of things I think that when we're talking about memory loss, these are the kinds of things that plague us all. Those types of memory loss are disturbing, but there's some people that get even worse. You know, I've been reading about Alzheimer's. For obvious, I didn't know that much about it. I know people forget things, and it's kind of a disease, so I've been training myself about Alzheimer's. You realize it's a very scary thing for the people that go through it. I had no clue. And obviously, I'm just now forgetting things, but I cannot imagine what it would be like to completely forget most of your life. Have your remote memory intact, but have your recent memory gone. But, you know, as I read the Bible and as I study His Word, I am convinced that God knew that you and I have a tendency to forget things. We just do. We just have a tendency. How many revivals have you been to where the Spirit of God moved and it was like, oh, I'm never going to forget this. This is something I'll remember this feeling forever. And a couple weeks later, you're like, right? Or you remember that it was good, but you don't remember how cutting edge that feeling was when God's Spirit moved. And I'm convinced that God is put His Word in writing because you and I are extremely slow. Amen. Yeah. And we need to delve and dig and dwell and stay in the Word of God because we forget even the important things. God instructs us to come together as often as we can so we can be reminded of the things of God. If you don't think that's necessary, what did Micah preach about 3 weeks ago? Don't raise your hand. Because I had to go back and look, okay? 3 weeks ago. It was a great message. Why couldn't I remember? I had some notes that I'd written down and stuff, but we probably need to run those slides, don't we? Just to recap where we're at, because we're talking about acceptable sins, sins that have become almost acceptable, okay? And so we've talked about a few of them, and we're going to talk about the loss of memory and individualism today, I think, if God will allow us. The slides that we've been working on, the premise of this has been that ungodliness is defined as living your life with little or no thought of God, God's will, God's glory, or of your dependence on God. Pause that just for a second here, because that's different. There's a natural tendency for us to get caught up in our life, caught up in watching the Bulls lose, caught up in whatever, just these natural tendencies pull us down. Even though we're Christian, even though we're trying to serve Him, even though we're trying to do what's right, there's a natural tendency for us to get caught up in work and in marriage and in life and in your kids. And it's quite another different thing to say unrighteousness as opposed to ungodliness is living your everyday life in open, willful rebellion against God's Word. There's a difference, isn't there? There's a natural tendency to slide, but that's not to say that I made a choice to slide. When I live as if there is no God, or when I begin to live my life like I'm independent from Him, with no thought for Him and His Lordship in my life, I move from ungodliness to unrighteousness. Does that make sense? So there's a difference between forgetting, and there's a difference of putting yourself in a position to forget, to a place where you're not getting anything from Him and you're broken off from Him. God that created us knew that we forget things quickly. We forget where we've come from. We forget how we got to be where we are this morning. He gave us some instructions and some warnings to constantly remind ourselves of these things. Israel, you think America's the first country to forget? Can you guys hear me okay if I keep it down here?
Yeah.
All right, I thought so. Thank you. I like it when people say I'm good. All right. Israel always forgot, constantly forgets. In fact, Jeremiah the prophet is very emphatic when he corrects Israel for its forgetful ways in chapter 2. He says, "Can a maid forget her ornaments? Does a bride forget her attire?" I have as many weddings as I've performed in 2.5 decades or whatever, 2 decades. I've never done a wedding where the wife forgot her attire. Because if something was missing, somebody went back to get it. I'll guarantee you. Okay? So, Jeremiah is saying brides don't forget their attire. Maids don't forget their ornaments, and yet the house of Israel continuously forgets her dependence on the Father. Amazing. So in Deuteronomy here, first off, you know, when I was going through Deuteronomy, I came to a place where it says that Moses was commanded by God to remake the Ten Commandments. Do you remember that? Do you remember in Cecil B. DeMille, which we all have that, you know, in the Ten Commandments, where Moses is up on the mountain, he's up there for a long time, and the people they continuously go astray, and I don't remember how long he's up there, but it's for a while. And people have a tendency, even though they're in the presence of God, even though they're camped at the mountain, even though they're there to hear from God, people start to drift. And they make a calf. And they start to dance and do stuff that the God isn't pleased with. And you remember in the movie, was it Charlton Heston? I love Heston. He brings, what was the guy that played Moses that came with the slabs? Remember those, what he did? He took those slabs because the people of God were partying like Prince in 1999 and chucked them. And Moses broke the Ten Commandments, the very tablets, the very law, the very word of God. In Deuteronomy, God says, you know what? You guys are getting ready to go into the promised land. I want you to remake the tablets. Why do you think he did that? So he could be reminded of his commandments? No. It's because we need a physical and a visual reminder. It's almost like there's nothing in the mind that's not first in the senses. We have to see things to be reminded. So in Deuteronomy, when they're going in here, they're going into the promised land, God gives a very clear warning in chapter 8. And he gives Israel a warning about her forgetful ways. And he says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God in keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes. And I'm commanding you this day, lest when you've eaten and you're full and you've built good houses and you dwell in them and your herds and your flocks multiply and you got a lot of gold and silver in your pockets and all that you've done is being blessed and your heart is lifted up, that you would forget the Lord your God which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And how quickly we forget sometimes that we have so much to be thankful for. Right? Air-conditioned homes, rooms that don't leak when it rains. Praise God for that. We have so much. James says in his epistle, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and it comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Yeah, those hymns are taken from the Scripture, man. There's good stuff. That's powerful magic. It really is. But God knows how forgetful you and I are and how often we lie down in our bed in our comfortable air conditioning, climate-controlled houses and fall off into a peaceful sleep and forget to thank Him. Don't wait. I found this with myself, and the devil beat me up a long time for it. I used to try to pray and thank God at night. It doesn't work for me. Because when I lay down on my bed, or lately it's been in the recliner with my cat, my faithful watch cat at my side, and I'm thinking about things that I should be thankful for and things I need to thank Him for, I find myself falling asleep. Just boom, okay? But in a sense, what the Scripture's telling us here is calling our attention to this fact. He knows how forgetful we are. He knows about our stuff. He knows about our jobs and you know, the fact that we owe for the cable bill or the fact that, you know, insurance is coming due again, it seems like, every month and a half. And it's one thing to have a sliding memory in your relationship with God, and it's another thing to live as you set yourself up as an individual where you can't get knowledge from Him anymore. And that's what we're talking about. You know, individualism is almost worshipped in America. Be yourself. If they tell you to cut your hair, grow it. Amen. If they tell you to grow your hair, shave it. I mean, no, wait, that's me. Be an individual. Do what you want. Feel what you want. You're the one that sets the limits and the boundaries. Be an individual. And too many people that walk around us think they do it all on their own, man. They just do. There's a new trinity in America. It's called me, myself, and I. Mike and I were discussing a trend with 20-year-olds, 20, 22-year-olds. There's a trend right now for people to be waiting to get married until they're older again. The trend is shifting, and we're talking about that. And he said, you know why people are doing that? Is because they don't perceive a need for anybody beside themselves. Wow. Me, myself, and I has replaced God, Jesus, and the Spirit. Now let me tell you, it's God that was there the whole time. You might think that you were the one that got up at 3, but he was the one that helped you hear the alarm clock. It was God that gave you health and strength to get out of bed. He gave you two legs to get dressed and to get to work. It was God that kept you all through the day, protected you on the highway when you were listening to Supertramp. And he brought you back home safely to your wife. It was God who opened the door for you to get a new job when you needed it. And most of the time it was better than the one you had before. That's God's work. And it's God who supplies your need when it comes time to pay your bills, even the cable bill. The fact that some people refuse to acknowledge him doesn't change the fact that he is the source. But they're cut off from having the blessings in the relationship and the peace in their life because they refuse to acknowledge. That's different than sliding. That's different than watching Avalon and oh man, I'm out of wipes. And believe me, that's a four-alarm fire when you run out of wipes with a kid. You know, and maybe I forgot a meeting because I was busy getting wipes or whatever. That's different than when we set ourselves up thinking that we do it all or the church did it all or so-and-so did it all. Aren't we something special? In America, here, I love America. I love this country. I love America, but America's in trouble. We're in trouble because we've forgotten the Word of God. We've forgotten the face of God. At the same time that we're setting ourselves up right now, believe me, I know that there's special interests that divide us. I know there's different things. I'm not talking about that. It doesn't matter what party you are, the man that sits in there, those people need your prayers. They do. Our country needs to repent and run back to the Father. That's what made us great. And we've forgotten. Okay, I'll stop preaching on that. Please stop preaching, period, the crowd said. No. Oh, funny. That's a good reason to be in the Word of God. God went to remind Israel of where they'd come from, what he had brought them through, and what he had done for them so that they would repent and come back to them so that they continued to be blessed. So in Deuteronomy 8:15, he says, "Who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, where there were fiery serpents and scorpions and there was no water? Who brought forth water out of a rock, out of flint? Who fed you when you had nothing with manna, which your fathers knew nothing about? That he might humble you, that he might prove to you that I had good intentions for you in the latter days." Who was it? In your own life, you think of these situations, and some of us are in situations right now where it's pretty bleak, it's pretty hopeless. Our marriage might be falling apart. We might have caught our kids with left-handed cigarettes and we don't know what we're going to do. There is any number of things. Look at the job market. We may be unemployed. There's a whole list of things we could go down today. It is God that will deliver you in your circumstances. It is God that will heal your marriage. It is the Lord that will carry you through. And God says, look at what I've done. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am not going to abandon you. I am not forgetting of you. Come back to me and love me. Come back. Some of us have had to face even greater dangers than others, and it continues. But get this. Being a disciple is not a free trip from trouble, but rather our relationship with God is an assurance that we'll never walk alone. There's no assurance that our life isn't going to be hard, that your child won't run through barbed wire. There's no assurance that your son won't get robbed in Turkey. There's no assurance that things are changing slow day by day. But it's okay. God wants you to be encouraged today that he knows where you are. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know that he watches me. Because if he watches the birds, how much more important are we than the birds? And he does watch the birds. The mission team, when they got back, they sat up here. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful group. I was so proud. Young men and women and some middle-aged men and women. And Keith Whitaker. And they sat up here and they talked about what had impacted them. Do you remember one of the things that most people said? Some of you weren't here. It's okay, I'll tell you. It's not a test. You're not going to fail. They talked about, and I can remember my own son Wes saying, "Dad, they just don't have anything there, but they're so happy. They just don't have anything. You know, their toy is a milk carton. They build drums out of steel, oil barrels that floated up out of the ocean. I mean, they're very, very good at fixing things. I mean, and you would have to be MacGyver. You know, you'd have to when that's all you have." But the mission team came back and they communicated over and over again about having excess in America and how tough it is, the healthcare system over there. People don't get operations. There's no antibiotics. A sister helps her little brother walk for 3 days to go to a hospital. It can't do anything, you know? We have a huge excess of things. Some people today have a cross to bear and they think it's so heavy that they can't carry it. Perhaps you think that you have a tremendous financial difficulty or your family's falling apart. Whatever your burden may be, you can meet somebody that can help you walk that burdenless path. And his name is Jesus Christ. Suddenly they meet someone whose burdens in their life are greater. And I found that every time I feel sorry for myself, I need to get off my rear end and go and do something for somebody else. I found that it works a lot. Okay? There's an old poem, or an old adage, I guess, that contains the thought that I had complained of not having better shoes until I met a man with no feet. Folks, we got a lot of shoes. We got a lot of shoes, and there are people that have no feet. Be reminded of what God has done in your life. There have been some fiery serpents in your life. There have been scorpions in there. The powers of hell want you dead. Let me tell you, if you think there is not a power of hell, you're sadly mistaken. If you do not think that there's an enemy for your soul, if you do not think that there are principalities that clash to keep our prayers from the throne room, your theology is mistaken. And I'm not criticizing you as much as I am trying to get you to wake up. Get in the Word. It's in there. I'm not making it up. But don't take my word for it. Remember that old show? Don't take my word for it. Get in the book, right? Get in the Bible. There are fiery arrows that are shot at us. There are spirits that are sent to confuse us and to keep us addicted and depressed. But God is there to see you through. It is God by His strong arm that has delivered you from the traps of the devil. And He's going to continue to do it if you come back and embrace Him. Even today, there are people who feel like they can't go another mile. I've given all I can give, a woman told me this week. I've given all I can give, and all the world does is take from me, and it never gives back. I'm tired. We can sink into this depression. We live in we can live in that because there's a drought in our lives. For a while. There isn't one who hasn't faced drought. The bank account's dry, the social account's dry, the relationships at home are dry. And the worst of all, guys, is when our spirit gets dry. When we as disciples and Christians begin to drift. Remember the word of the prophet Joel in chapter 2? I'm going to share it with you because it's important. And it ties into what Sammy said in the beginning. He said, "Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for He has given you the former rain moderately, and He will cause it to come down for you in the rain The former rain, the latter rain in the first month. He's talking about seasons of growing and stuff that they could be sure of. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow. Oh, the bats, man, the vats. With wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the army has taken from you, that's been stolen by the cankerworm, the caterpillar, my great army which I sent among you, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise shall never be, praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. God's people will never be ashamed, he says. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass that I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men will have visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days I will pour my spirit out. God is taking care of the thirst for you. God is taking care of the thirst if you'll just drink deep and allow Him to fill your life. Amen? In the last days, we've been in the last days since Jesus Christ was here. There's no last. We're not in the penultimate last days. We're in the last days. And He is pouring His Spirit out upon you and I, and He's poured His Spirit out upon His church. Thank God for the natural rain. I was walking back over, and I'm thinking, rain again, man? Not cool. Not cool, because the grass out yonder, I can probably bale it for a profit. Out behind, I'm thinking, man, more rain, but God knows what He's doing. There are crops that need water. There are things that are needed. And before too long it's going to be so dead that we're only going to have weeds to mow. Right now we're mowing three times a week, then it'll be dead. There will be nothing. But right now it's renewing us. Thank God for the spiritual rain. Thank God when the Holy Spirit rains down that He brightens our day and He gives us a baptism of new life and He reminds us once again that we're not insignificant, that we're not forgotten, that we are His. He restores our souls and He lifts our spirits and He empowers us so that we can run through platoons of enemies. Do you realize Jesus said, "Greater things will you do than what you've seen me do"? Do you desire that in your life? I desire that for the church more than anything else. I desire to see that in your life, and I want that explosion in my life for the Holy Spirit. I can even get a house ready to sell by myself. It's possible. But heed the warning here again, contained in the passage in Deuteronomy as well. He says this. In verse 17, he says, "As thou say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth." Because it's easy for us to start thinking that individually we can make it. It's easy. I've done it. I need to have the Spirit of God. I need to get in His Word and stay in it so that my dependence is on Him. And God says this to His people who are going into the promised land, who have been nomadic and dwelling in tents for generations. You're coming in and you're going to get everything. You're going to get everything beyond your wildest dreams. Don't forget who I am and what I've done in your life. Do not forget your dependence on me. It's what makes the nation great. It's what will make your life great. If you will give yourself to Christ, if you will allow His Spirit to possess you. Yeah, it's a scary word. We have all kinds of images of little girls crawling and spit pea soup. But the Holy Spirit of God wants to empower you. He wants to come in and indwell in your life in a miraculous way. I remember Frank Sinatra. I love Frank Sinatra. I sing a lot of Sinatra, especially on 9 for some reason. I'm coming back and forth to the truck. If you see me passing and I'm driving my truck and you see me singing, it's probably Sinatra. All right? Remember what Sinatra, that song he said? He said, "I did it my way. Like no one else helped me. I did it all. I'm going to keep it for myself." And that is the attitude that is a distinction from the natural drift that we have in our lives as Christians. When we get to that place, we're in a great danger. When our country gets in that place, it's in a great danger. God wants us to enjoy things. He's not a hard taskmaster. He loves us. He loves you. He doesn't want you to go without. But this morning, he calls your heart and says, are you relying on me? The same as he's talking to me. The same as he always talks to me, brother. It's more about getting the speaker ready than it is the message. It's more about where you've been this week. Is he talking to you? Have you forgotten him? Are you relying on him as your Savior? Are you relying on him? Or have you become more of an individual? God's word is for both of us today. Those of us that have naturally drifted, but we're still trying to follow. And those of us that have just said, no, I'm just going to do it. Because your word is too hard, because the church is corrupt, because of whatever. Whatever it is that you're using as an excuse not to come to him. God says, we need to lay that down. Because the danger is, in the midst of everything, he is still the king. In the midst of ISIS, God is still on his throne. In the midst of a world of plenty, God owns it all. Okay? And either we acknowledge him in joy and willingly, or someday we will be forced. Wouldn't that be a horrible thing? I'd much rather fall on my knees before the cross than be drugged like he's had to do with me so many times by the nape of the neck. Used to be by the ponytail. Just go, boom! God loves you and he wants you back. If you're wandering today, or that's what the word is really all about. And that's bad news, I know. It's like, so, man, out of the first service, I'm thinking, man, that's negative. But then God whispered to me and said, no, it's positive. Because there are people that are going to come back today. There are people that needed to be reminded of my lordship. So if that's you, acknowledge him. Dan's going to come. He's going to play. We're probably not going to pray. I'm not going to open the altar. But I'll tell you what, if you need to come to God, you just do it. Don't play games. If you've wandered a little bit, that's okay. God understands that. The reason that you have conviction is because he loves you. You're not in trouble. The only trouble you'll be in is if you don't get real with him. How's that? Is that fair? But that's a pretty good news. That's the good news of the gospel that Sam opened us up with, that Christ died and rose and has paid for us so we can be in fellowship with our Father. You guys are awesome. I love you. And as Danny sings, take care of it. You can take care of it where you are. You can pray up here. I don't care. God just wants you. He loves you, and he wants to empower you. He wants to make your life explode with his Holy Spirit. So take care of it. Boom.
Thanks, brother. We talked about that earlier. And you can always count on some things from Bill. I know that when he preaches, we're going to hear 80s music references. Today he added a new twist. He's been talking a lot about his cat since Melanie went out west to get their house ready. So, I mean, do you realize that Pastor Bill has become a crazy cat lady now? But he always issues us a good challenge. And today the challenge is to not forget the God that's made us. And not forget that the God who's made us lets us come back to him when we've strayed. So as we stand today, let's go ahead and sing one more time. Let's call to the Lord in our hearts and our minds. He hears what's going on inside our heads. Just ask for a life change today. There is nobody I know who would say that my life can't get changed for the better. And that includes the Lord right there.